Welcome back to Old Chicago here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. Cal Friedman here for 99.9 The Rock. Thank you so much for Thomas Toot from the men's basketball squad for starting us off. As mentioned, Garden City is 17-10 on the season into their final three games of the regular season. We welcome on assistant coach Mike Harmon. Coach, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Cal, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Well, let's just talk about that first. Three games left in the regular season. Has it flown for you like it has for me?
Always. It goes by so fast, man. So fast.
So let me talk to you about earlier this week, before we get into Bronkbuster basketball. Houston, which is your hometown, got a big win this week against Iowa State. You get a chance to watch?
Yeah, yes, sir, definitely. You know, me and Coach Jax are one of the assistant coaches on the team. We always kind of send each other different games, and he sent it to me, and we kind of both were just locked in, just watching how hard they play. Well, hopefully it translates to our guys. We try to get it to translate to our guys, but, you know, it's just kind of amazing to watch to see how he gets those guys to buy in.
Who are some of the teams you like to watch at the D1 level that you like? Kind of like to motivate these guys with?
U of H. I like U of H. I like UConn. Purdue's okay. I mean, they're okay. But U of H and UConn is kind of who I've been watching lately.
Helps when you have a 7'5" center who can do everything in the case of Purdue. You leaning anywhere for March Madness?
You said my leaning?
Yeah. Who you picking?
I'm going to Houston. I'm always biased. I'm going to U of H, man. I think they can got to get over the hump. Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. Hopefully we can get over the hump this year.
I took Houston last year. And
me too.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. The last 2 years, I picked against Miami in March, and both times they busted my racket.
And that's what beat last year, too. Yep. I mean, they just spread the court out, and U of H couldn't make a shot, and they couldn't stop those guys.
Yeah. I got you on at the perfect time this week, however, because you do a lot of work with the forwards, and they all played really well last night against Coffeyville. What stood out about that win?
You know, just I think the guys like Thomas, Charles, Isaiah's played really well yesterday. I mean, stats don't show it, but I think his impact of him just talking on defense, boxing out, just lining up people to get rebounds, just things like that. It's kind of it was good to see him kind of like take a step forward because he hasn't had one of those games in a while. And then, you know, big fella Charles, I'm close with him, so just having him all the time and talking to him, kind of seeing him put it together yesterday, just blocking out, finally chinning the ball, not getting the stove from under the rim. And then Thomas is Thomas. Thomas is going to be who he is every day, man. And it's just phenomenal to see it finally kind of like come all together pretty much.
Yeah, let me start about Isaiah first. I talked to Coach Elmore after the game, and he said, you guys have always seen it with him in practice, but it just hasn't translated into the game. Is it a relief to see it translate?
Finally. Like, I mean, the day before our game on Tuesday, Tuesday at practice, you can kind of, like, see him. He's battling with Charles, battling with Thomas, making some good moves. And, like, all day on Wednesday, I just kept preaching to him, like, we got to translate. It has to translate. It has to translate. And he finally – it's just good, man. You see him dunk the ball, kind of give that a stare down when he dunked it. Makes his little corner jumper that Elmore always tells him not to shoot. But he's so confident, he shoots it anyway. He just looks at Coach smiling as he runs down the court.
He had another one of those, I think, against Tech last week. He had another mid-range. Mm-hmm. Has he had a growth confidence in that shot?
Yeah, I mean, he shoots about 500 of them. Like, Coach, he goes, knocks his 200 free throws out, then he shoots literally 500 corner jumpers. So it's kind of good to see it all come together, man, for him.
Let me talk about that for a second, because Coach Elmore said, like, we've been waiting for this to happen in the game. I don't know if it's a freshman thing or something else along the lines. What do you think it is between translating game from practice to game where it just hasn't flowed for Isaiah this season?
Just confidence, I think. You know, him being young, he takes everything so personal, being young, being a freshman. So I think it's just confidence, man. I think he just finally kind of tuned us out. Like, you know, because sometimes us as coaches, we can kind of hinder a little confidence a little bit, but not trying to. We just kind of just coaching you guys, coaching the guys. But, you know, I think he finally just said, you know what, in this, be confident, man. That's kind of all it really was, honestly.
You touched on the second dunk that he had. What did you really like out of his aggressiveness? Because I thought he really got the crowd going last night.
Just finally. Like, I mean, Zay's so athletic and he jumps. So I think he can touch like 12-2, 12-3, man. And, you know, finally, like, he jumps and dunks the ball instead of him. Like, kind of like, I don't know if you noticed before, he hesitates. He's down there. He kind of like hesitates, like nervous, don't want to make a mistake. And then if you see him yesterday, he's kind of catching him. He finally just just trying stuff. And when sometimes you try stuff, it can work out in your favor. And I think it worked out in his favor yesterday.
You know what? It's funny. I had him on postgame. I don't know if you heard this clip, but I asked him to recall that dunk for me. And he said he initially wanted to lay it up. And he's like, oh, I jumped too high. So I'm just like, dunk it. And I'm like, I wish I could say that. When did you first dunk growing up?
I'd say my first dunk had to be at what, 15, okay. 16 after alley-oop, my first dunk, yeah.
Really? Okay. Was it two-hand, one-hand?
One-hand. Like it was at LA Fitness. My friend threw it up, and I ended up dunking with one hand.
That's awesome. Let me actually talk about this, because I had you on the show before. We're talking to Mike Harmon, if you're just joining us here in the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. I looked into your playing career since the last show. You averaged like 19 a game at Northeast State. Like, that was impressive. Where did you get your buckets?
It's like, what do you mean? Like,
where did you like to shoot?
Oh, I shot a lot of threes. I shot 45 from three in college.
Dang. And,
you know, it's you know, it's funny. You know, my uncle, him, my sister, they kind of both helped me get into basketball. And my uncle's hilarious. In high school, he would always tell me to pump fake and kind of like let guys like go by me and get to my mid range. And we laugh about it to this day. I didn't care. I'm slinging that thing. And in high school, I used to let it go. And in college, I mean, it's the same thing. I kind of really never changed my game. I just always had confidence to shoot that thing. And yeah, I let it fly.
I talked to Maya from the girls team about this. When you see one shot go in, is that all you need when you played?
Yep. That's all. I mean, I didn't really care. Miss, make or miss, my confidence is through the roof. But if I see one go in, especially early in the game, I think I can have 30, 40, if I'm being honest with you.
That's awesome just to hear that mentality. Was there a game that stood out for you where you just remembered how confident you were going in? You saw a shot go in, it's like, all right, I'm going for 30 tonight.
So I played in high school. I played the Harrison Twins.
Okay.
Andrew, and they had us, like, projected losing by, like, 15 points, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, I kind of just fired up. They were, like, number one team in Houston. We were kind of on the rise. And I had 39. I had 36 against them. Am I mistaken? 36? No, 39 against them, actually. Yeah, 39 against them. Had, like, 9 threes. And we beat them by 15-plus. So that game was kind of a game I probably never forget, to be honest.
Dang. Okay, that's impressive. And you talk about March Madness. Those guys were fun in March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Let me flip this question around, actually, because I was talking to one of the St. Louis coaches after the game last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I've started to ask this question to a couple of guys that bring on the show. Do you listen to Steven Jackson's podcast?
All the Smoke? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll paraphrase on the question. Who was the first guy to really give you the work?
The first guy to really give me the work? That's a good question. I guess come to mind, I mean, shit, I want to get some pretty good guys. Rasheed Suleiman, he went to Duke out of high school. I thought he was, but I think I outplayed him, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll probably say the Harrison Twins. I've been playing them. They were like in the fifth grade. They're like 2 years old, younger than me. But I've been playing with them in the fifth grade, and I think I would say them, shoot. Like, playing AAU coming up, I wasn't really that good at when I first started. But, like, they were in the fifth grade beating, like, seventh grade team, eighth grade teams.
Dang.
So I think I would probably say them. It's one of my first memories of playing AAU was against those guys, Houston Defenders.
Can I ask you about a tweet for a second? Mm-hmm. I looked at your profile the other week, and you've had one tweet pinned for, like, a year and a half now. It's just recruit your mentors. What does that mean? Where did you learn from it? Where did it come from?
So my trainer in high school, he's the head coach at Texas State. Terrence Johnson, he's the head coach there for the men's basketball team.
Okay.
And I watched a podcast with him, and he was saying how he recruits his mentors, how he recruits the guys that he wants to mentor him, who he wants to be like. And it's kind of just stood out to me when I heard the podcast. I heard him say that, and it stood out to me. He's right. Like, you want to recruit people who you're trying to be like. You want to recruit people who has a strong mind, who I can envision myself being. And he's one of those guys who I envision myself being a head coach, a division one head coach eventually in life. So he's one of those guys. So, I mean, I would say from him.
Who was the first mentor you really recruited?
That I actually recruited? Mm-hmm. I would say Lavelle Moten, probably.
Okay.
Lavelle Moten. I would probably say him because, I mean, all the other guys that I, quote-unquote, my mentors, I've been knowing those guys for a long time. But Lavelle Moten's the head coach at North Carolina Central. And, yeah, I kind of just recruited him, talked to him, and yeah, ever since then, we kind of talk like three times a week, four times a week. So
it's crazy how well you guys are all connected. Coach Elmore, Coach Jax, you're always talking to different people. Who are some people you're most in touch with right now?
Him, Lavelle Moten, Rod Clark's at Tennessee. Yesterday, I got just me talking to KT Turner, the head coach of UTA yesterday. We talked for maybe like 20 minutes when he came to see Brody, and like we both just kind of hit it off. He gave me his number and told me to just kind of stay in touch. But he's just another guy who I envision. Brandon Chappelle's at UT.
Mm-hmm.
TJ, of course, at head coach of Texas State. A bunch of different guys, man. I just kind of always, and I want it to be genuine. I don't want it to be like I'm hitting them up because I need something. You know what I mean? Just kind of really just actually checking on people versus me just always hitting them up when I need something. So, you know.
That's something I'm really trying to work on because you make connections in this industry, and it's like you have to make sure that you're not only just going to them. I don't want to be a leech. I don't want to be someone who's going to someone and saying, hey, I need your help. Yeah. I don't want that to be the only reason I'm texting you. Like, I've been trying to work on that too. So. Yeah. Getting to hear you say that definitely helps me a lot. Talk with Mike Harmon if you're just listening here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. I want to go back to the other two forwards we didn't really get into. Let me start with Charles. He got into some good positions inside. What worked for him yesterday?
I thought he played hard. I thought he finally played and was engaged. I thought he actually, like, sat down on defense. Different things like that I've been trying to, like, coach with him all year. Just sitting down to be engaged for 40 minutes versus being engaged for 25 minutes. So I thought he was actually engaged yesterday. He did some good things.
Has that been the biggest challenge with him, just making sure that he's locked in for all 40 minutes?
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I mean, I don't think he's ever been coached like he's been coached this year. I mean, me, Coach Elmore, Coach Jack, I think we've been staying on him more than anybody's ever had before, because a lot of people let him slack because he's always been the biggest guy. And sometimes people don't want to lose that, but I think it kind of hurt him a little bit. But I think this year has been beneficial for him, to be honest.
For a team that likes to shoot the ball so much, they don't really pound the rock inside. What's the key to putting him in the best positions throughout games?
You know, random duck ins, offensive rebounds, things like that. You know what I mean? Like, just doing things like that.
Got it. Like I said, this isn't really a team who plays through the bigs, but is this someone who's always going to want the ball in situations in Charles?
You say it one more time?
Like, okay, yeah, let me rephrase that. Like, again, this is a team that, you know, it's a lot of three-point shooters. There isn't too many post touches. But is he someone who's always going to be ready to get the ball and go to work in late-game situations?
50-50, you know. I think Charles is an unselfish player, man. I think, you know, he understands what our offense is and that we shoot a lot of threes. But, you know, I think sometimes he gets the ball and he doesn't want to, like, force anything. Sometimes I'd be wanting him to force it. I kind of want him to just be mean and just – but he's kind of a little timid from getting offensive fouls. The refs, I know you saw yesterday those fouls they called on him, and it kind of, like, frustrates him a little bit. And it kind of – it hinders what we're trying to do, because I'm trying to get him to be aggressive, but then he's aggressive and he picks up some crazy fouls, and now he's on the bench. So, I don't know. It just – yeah, I'm not too sure, man.
For sure. Talk about Thomas real quick. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, but he started the game really strong. How did he get it going early?
Confidence, poise. I don't know if you saw him at the beginning. He wasn't sped up. Kind of real, just poised, and kind of just let the game come to him. Just knocked down the short corner jumper, drove in, got the nice little and-one dunk. You know, just things like that. I thought he let the game come to him instead of him trying to force it.
Yeah, let me talk about the dunk. He went over the top of Janai Summers, mean posterizer. What was the reaction like on the bench?
Oh, yeah. I wish you could see my reaction. Every time those bigs do something, I'm probably one of the first ones to stand it up and hype for him, you know what I mean? So no, I was definitely hyped.
We were talking to him earlier today. He told me one of the things he really wanted to do here is learn how to guard 1 through 5. Because at St. Peter's, he was kind of just restricted to guarding power forwards or centers. But how has he grown here this season at being able to guard some of the guards?
You know, still a work in progress. We're still trying to clean up some things. But I think he's another one. When those guys are 6'10", 6'9", it's hard for him to bend all the time. Well, they're not used to bending all the time. So I think if he has the potential, he has the length and the speed to guard 1 through 5 easily. So I think it's kind of a want. I think when he wants to do it, he can. But, you know, he's trying to fight that battle to make him want to do it all the time. So
now you're someone who played as a guard, and now you're working with some forwards, maybe trying to learn that.
Crazy, right?
What's the first piece of advice that you give them?
You know, I mean, for one, just being mean. Like, I always tell those guys they're our anchor. Like, I mean, like, we go as they go. I mean, of course, Brody's our engine, of course. But, like, I think our bigs are anchor because they don't want to see the ball screen coming. They don't want to talk and make sure the guard's not getting hit by ball screens. They're defending our paint, protecting. So I told them, like everyone's looking at those guys. Like, they're our anchor, and we go as they go. So
it is crazy that you, of course, you know, 5'11 guard when you were playing. Give you 6'2". But now you go on and you're coaching a bunch of forwards who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", that are trying to learn how to guard players like you back when you were playing.
Now, I took the challenge on. Like, that was the biggest thing. You know, I worked with guards my last 2 years of my last school. So working with bigs was a challenge for me. It's something that I wanted to do to kind of, like, put in my bag, basically.
So final 3 games for you guys. They're all really tough ones. But let's start on Saturday. You're taking on number 2 Barton. What have been some of the things that you've noticed out of them when watching them on film?
Transition. They're mean. They're unselfish. And I think that's why they're 24-1, you know. They don't care who scored. Like, they got a different leading scorer every game. They got guys, Mose Downing. He was a top 20 player last year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see him sacrifice and average 5 points a game so his team 25-1 shows you a lot right there, because, I mean, at the end of the day, when it matters.
Can I get you to elaborate on that? Mean. What do you see on film that shows you that a team's got attitude?
Like, crashing the glass, offensive rebounds. Like, they talk smack. I mean, we got to we play those guys. So to fire them up, we kind of put in their lockers with Cooper Jackson, the little guard, number 24. Mm-hmm. He walked at our bench when we played him and told our guys they're trash. So we kind of fired our guys up by putting it all in the locker room so they can see that. So when we go there, we want it to mean something when we go there.
Do you guys talk trash much?
I think silently, not like to the bench. I think the guys do it silently, but I don't think they're just – blatantly like that, just coming to our bench and telling us our guys are trash. So
fair. Talk to me about this. You guys went on a 3-game losing streak earlier this month. You now won your last two. What's been the biggest change in these last two games?
I think so. I think losing to Kylie, man, thought our guys played really, really well, and it kind of just that hurt. So I thought it kind of just knocked some of our life out, and then backdooring, same thing at Butler. Great first half. I ain't gonna say great first half, but a good first half. We had the lead, and then the second half, they just come and do it again, and then the heartbreaker, Northwest Tech, something. I mean, we were projected to win, but I give those guys credit. They fought really, really hard, and they had a good game plan, and I think our guys just wasn't ready to play. And I think from there into Seward, I think, you know, Coach Elmore just loving on the guys. I think he just told the guys, like, listen, like, we got 4 games. We can still make a run. We can still do this thing. And I know we messed up, but we can still do this thing. So
yeah, Northwest Tech almost beat Hutch last night, too. They were up at the half.
They were up like a minute to go, a minute 30 to go, like by 1 to 2 points. And then
really?
Won the game, yeah.
Dang. Last question I have for you is I was talking with Coach Elmore about this. I talked to Coach Archer about this as well. Recently, both in the NBA but also the NCAA Division I level, sometimes the teams that make it all the way to the championship aren't necessarily the best ones throughout the regular season. It's the ones that get the best at the right time. What does this team have to do to carry momentum into the postseason?
We just got to click, man. You look at our losses. We lost 10 games this year. If you look at those 10 losses, it honestly were all self-inflicted. Like besides Hutch, when we lost, they kind of got us early on. Every other loss besides Hutch, I think we're all self-inflicted. So I think just us just not hurting ourselves, not shooting ourselves in the foot in these games, closing out halves, just not doing the dumb things. And I think if we can stick together, limit our dumb mistakes, I think that we really can make it run. Like, I really truly believe this team has what it takes. And, I mean, and we've shown it, too. Like, we had Barton on the ropes. We've had Kylie on the ropes. We had these good teams on the ropes. And later on down the line, we just did something crazy where we blew the game. So I don't think they've beaten us. I think we beat ourselves. So
believe me, I do, too. Garden City closed the season with one on the road this weekend against Barton, and then have two more at home. They take on Dodge City and then Hutchinson in the final day of the regular season on March the 6th. You're the first assistant coach, that I've had twice on this show, and I've enjoyed both times having you on. Thank you so much, Coach.
Always, Cal. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
That is Mike Harmon. We come back. We make the transition from basketball to baseball. We will hear from head coach Josh Allen when we come back here on 99.9 The Rock.